Lord Jesus Christ, by the love with which you have loved us, by your willingness to become man to redeem us, by your vicarious life, suffering, and death, by your triumphant resurrection and ascension, by your gift of the Holy Spirit and means of grace, by your coming again with power and glory, spare us, O Lord. We poor sinners do beseech you to hear us, good Lord, that it may please you to guard and protect your Church universal and its leaders, that it may please you to lead our nation in the way of righteousness, that it may please you to give us fervor in Christian service, that it may please you to lead all study and Bible meditation toward a fuller recognition of your glory. We beseech you to hear us, O Lord. For those who are led astray by the allurements of sin, for those who are perplexed by the struggle to understand the world, for those who fail to give their best to their work, we beseech you to hear us, O Lord. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us your peace. You may be seated. We'll continue with the responsive reflection. It was the will of the Lord that he should suffer. His death was a sacrifice to bring forgiveness. And so he will see his descendants. He will live a long life, and through him my purpose will succeed. After a life of suffering, he will again have joy. He will know that he did not suffer in vain. My devoted servant with whom I am pleased will bear the punishment of many, and for his sake I will forgive them. And so I will give him a place of honor, a place among the great and the powerful. He willingly gave his life and shared the fate of the evil. He took the place of many sinners and prayed that they might be forgiven. Our reading from the Passion narrative is taken from the 23rd chapter of Luke. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." Here ends the Passion narrative. We continue with our hymn.
The congregation will now sing our sermon hymn this morning, "Go to Dark Gethsemane," in number 436 in Lutheran Service Book, 110 in Lutheran Worship, or 159 in the Lutheran Hymnal.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sermon text comprises the two statements of the centurion at the death of Jesus. I have two texts, the one from Luke chapter 23, verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." The second text is from the 15th chapter of Mark, verse 39. When the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up his spirit, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." A centurion was an officer in the Roman army who was in charge of 100 soldiers. Centurions were chosen for their leadership abilities. They were to train, drill, and lead the soldiers under them. Of course, they fought in battles, but at times also they were stationed in different places to help keep order and to quell any revolt or uprising. At times they were given various tasks to perform. Now, this particular centurion in our text was stationed in Jerusalem, and he was given the task of being in charge of Jesus' crucifixion along with two other criminals that were convicted with him. It was an unpleasant task, but through it he encountered Jesus and was coming under his influence. Now the Lord wants us, when we have work to be done, assignment to do, task to be fulfilled, to carry them out as best we can and to complete them. In 1 Corinthians it said, "It is required of stewards to be found faithful." Even when at times we have an unpleasant task to perform, when we complete that task, we have the satisfaction that we've done our duty. And through completing an unpleasant task, God can reinforce and develop our self-discipline. Also, when we complete an unpleasant task, we can at least appreciate those times then when we have work that's pleasant and easy. Well, the things that Jesus said and the things that happened there on that Good Friday had a profound effect upon this centurion. Usually, when criminals were affixed to the crossbeam, they would curse those who were nailing them to the cross. But the centurion heard Jesus praying forgiveness over those were crucifying him as well as those who had condemned him innocently. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As the morning went on, the centurion undoubtedly heard the one malefactor crucified along with Jesus calling to him, saying, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Probably the centurion wondered, how could a mere man assure another that they would both enter paradise? Well, a little before noon, the centurion would have noticed that Jesus' mother Mary, his disciple John, Mary Magdalene, and a couple other women came and stood by the cross. And evidently the centurion noticed that even though Jesus was suffering intense thirst and pain, He was concerned for the welfare of his mother and committed her care to the custody of his disciple John. Then from 12 to 3 there came that unusual and terrible darkness from which undoubtedly the centurion heard Jesus call out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe the centurion wondered, well, now Jesus is calling God not Father, but God, and he experienced forsakenness, abandonment of this God. Why is that happening? Well, then about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out, it is finished. The centurion maybe thought, what does he mean, it is finished? Does he mean that his life is coming to an end, or does he mean something more? That his work was accomplished, his mission was fulfilled. He was using an accounting term, something like the meaning of the books are closed, the account is closed, the debt is paid. But what kind of a debt? Could it be our debt to God? And then the centurion heard Jesus say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And the centurion probably thought, well, now, again, he's calling God his Father. Could it mean that God was now pleased with him in what he had suffered, the things that he had accomplished? He was now in good graces again with God his Father? But what conclusions did the centurion draw from all this that he heard and all that he had seen? He came to 2 conclusions. He said, certainly this was a righteous man. Truly this man was the Son of God. Jesus is righteous. The book of Hebrews says, we have a high priest who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. As we as human beings had broken God's law, we are unrighteous. But Jesus, in our place, fulfilled the law. And since he is the Son of God, his righteousness has infinite merit to cover the sins of all of us and make us acceptable to God. So that Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And as by the disobedience of the one man, Adam, we the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, we the many are made righteous. And having that righteousness of Jesus to cover our sins and make us acceptable to God motivates us then to strive to lead a righteous life, to do what is right in the sight of God according to his commandments. As Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, said, we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies should serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul writes, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. As the centurion said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Jesus is human and divine, which means that he can understand all the things that we as human beings face and go through. But more than that, he can help us. The book of Hebrews says, seeing that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. When we are weighed down with burdens and cares and wonder how we're going to handle it all, how are we going to get through, Jesus can understand as a human being. He had the burden of the weight of the whole world's sin upon him. And he can help us to bear our burdens or give us relief from our burdens. When we experience pain, hurt, suffering, Jesus, a man, can understand. But he had terrible sufferings. But being the Son of God, he is also able to relieve our sufferings or give us patience to endure under them. And at times we have temptations. Jesus, as a man, can understand. He was tempted. But as the Son of God, he is able to help us to face and overcome temptation. Again, the book of Hebrews says, since he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. When we suffer abuse, slander, betrayal, mistreatment, Jesus can understand. He also endured those things. But as the Son of God, he can give us the ability, hard as it might be, to carry out his instructions, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. When we have sorrow, grief, Jesus as a human can understand. Remember, he wept at the death of his friend Lazarus when he came to his tomb. But as the Son of God, he gives us the hope of the resurrection as he raised Lazarus from the dead. So he gives us that wonderful hope for ourselves and our Christian loved ones who have gone before us. For he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. These two conclusions reached by the centurion can remind us of what a wonderful Savior we have, so that we continue to trust him, to worship him, and strive to lead our life to his glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
You're listening to the Lenten Worship Service at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri, on AM 850 KFUO. Our primary mission here at Peace is to proclaim the good news of God's love for all people in Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all nations. We will have our Lenten Vesper Worship Service this evening at 6:15 p.m. Prior to the worship service, the Peace Men's Club will provide a Lenten supper to be served from 5 to 6 p.m. in the gymnasium. We will be presenting our 21st annual Living Last Supper worship service on Maundy Thursday, March 28th at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. The setting is Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting, as the actors portray how the disciples may have responded when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." The chancel choir adds to the worship with various musical selections, and the service culminates with a celebration of Holy Communion. To make sure that we can seat everyone, you will need to contact the church office for free tickets at 314-892-5610. If you are looking for a church to attend, we have worship services at 8, 9:20, and 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. And for those who cannot attend on Sundays, we offer worship service on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. Our early childhood program at Peace offers daycare, preschool, and Parents Day Out programs for children ages 14 months to 6 years old. We are also affiliated with Green Park Lutheran Elementary School and Lutheran High School South.
Thank you. God the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. O God the Son, given to be head over the church. O God the Holy Spirit, the bond of peace. O Holy Trinity, eternal love, have mercy upon us. By the ministry of healing and forgiveness, by your seeking and saving the lost, by your words of eternal life, help us, good Lord. By your calling and training of the 12 apostles, by your promise to build your church, by your institution of the holy sacraments, help us, gracious Lord. By the love shown in your crucifixion, by the power of your resurrection, by the glory of the ascension, and by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, help us, merciful Lord, that it may please you to strengthen and enlarge your holy church in every land, and to unite all those who profess and call themselves Christians in faith and hope and charity. We beseech you, good Lord, that your church may proclaim the gospel throughout the whole earth and make disciples of all nations. We beseech you, gracious Lord, that you will give to all your people grace to understand and to believe your word and to show forth faith in their lives. We beseech you, merciful Lord, that you would guide us in all perplexities of belief and conduct, that we may hold fast that which is true and faithfully confess you before others. We beseech you, sovereign Lord, that regardless of the praise or contempt of the world, your church may worship and adore you in spirit and truth. We beseech you, eternal Lord, and as we pray for the church universal, so let us pray for giving blessing upon the church in this place. Here may the faithful find salvation and the careless be awakened. Amen. Here may the doubting find faith and the anxious be encouraged. Amen. Here may the tempted find help and the sorrowful comfort. Amen. Here may the weary find rest and the strong be renewed. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we also intercede this day for Gordon Scott, who was diagnosed with cancer, for Jeffrey Christopher, a nephew of Mark and Louise Mullen, who is recovering from five bypass surgery, for Naomi Zalowski, who is undergoing rehabilitation, and from Carlette Heitman, who is recovering from knee surgery, that your touch of help might rest upon the parts that need your attention, and that they might be restored in accord with your will, through the merits of your Son, who has taught us also to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The congregation will now sing, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, hymn number 427 in Lutheran Service Book, 101 in Lutheran Worship, or 354 in the Lutheran Hymnal.
bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all.
The congregation will sing Abide With Me, stanzas 1 and 6, hymn number 878 in Lutheran Service Book, 490 in Lutheran Worship, or 552 in the Lutheran Hymnal. Peace is one of over 6,000 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God and the final standard for what we teach and how we live. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod supports mission work in many foreign countries and has partner churches worldwide. For more information about our church and educational programs, you can contact our church office from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, at 314-892-5610. If you would like to contact Pastor Castens or Pastor Ferguson, you can find their email addresses on our website at peacelutheranstl.org. That is peacelutheranstl.org. This now concludes the worship service at Peace Lutheran Church. We hope that you've enjoyed the worship service this morning and will join us again next Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. On behalf of Engineer Dennis Gerfen, Broadcast Coordinator Alan Hopfer, and for the pastors, staff, and members of Peace, I'm Robert Mullen. We wish you God's peace and the blessings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.